Your next speaker is Avon Malone.
There are certain things we presented this morning that I'm convinced are not debatable. Jesus is incomparable. The one who said, "I and the Father are one," John 10:30, can not only not be compared to Thutis or Judas, but he cannot be compared to any mere man. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:1 and following. And clearly he's talking about our Lord, the Word who became flesh. I think we all agree on that. He said, "My kingdom's not of this world," John 18:36. And therefore the world's standard of judgment will never, and the world's view of success and basis for evaluating success will never be the standard by which really to evaluate the kingdom. And I think on that we completely agree. I think it's understandable that some might feel, though, that some injustice was done to Gamaliel, because we said that he was an appeaser. And I have the strong conviction that the church through the years has been hurt much more by appeasers than by opposers. We're in the age of appeasement. In the age in which the rod is spared and the child is spoiled. And where in school people get the idea and children get the idea rather early, there are no absolutes and so on. And so I guess there's something in my own observation and feeling that opposes the tendency toward mere appeasement. And as we put it today, the bland and broad tolerance that says everything's all right. But some might feel that maybe Gamaliel really had no opportunity to know. Now, I'm sure nobody here would try to argue that Gamaliel didn't know the Old Testament prophecies. Brother, he did. I'm convinced he knew those as well as he knew the signatures on his diploma. And this is Dr. Gamaliel. This is the great teaching rabbi of the day. Did he have any opportunity to know, though? Well, the great redemptive work of God in Christ in human history took place both in the time and in the vicinity of Gamaliel. And as Paul told Agrippa, these things were not done in a corner. But going beyond that, Gamaliel is a part of the Jewish religious leadership, the council, the Sanhedrin. And to really get the context in Acts, you need to look carefully at those beginning chapters, particularly chapters 3, 4, and 5. You have the miracle in chapter 3 of the lame man at the beautiful gate. In chapter 4 of Acts, at verse 16, we have this Jewish religious leadership making an interesting admission. They say this, "What shall we do to these men?" In both chapters 4 and 5, they're trying to decide what to do with the apostles. In chapter 4, Peter and John are at the forefront of this. "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been wrought through them is manifest to all that dwell at Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." You have to begin to wonder a little bit about the intellectual honesty of the council. Now, I know that signs did not compel faith. I know that. But I do know they provided a basis for faith. Many other signs did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing have life through His name. John 20, 30, 31. And in Mark 16, 20, they went everywhere preaching the Word, signs following, confirming the Word. Mark 16, verse 20. Let me tell you something. The Word that's preached in Acts 3, and in terms of substance and content, it's the same essential truths that were preached in Acts 2. The Word that's preached in Acts 3, the Word that's preached in Acts 4 to the Sanhedrin. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4, verse 12. And that's preceded by a proclamation of the basic facts of the gospel. Hey, that Word was confirmed. And they admitted the sign had taken place. And Gamaliel is a part of that group that hears that preaching. In our lesson today, we looked at Acts chapter 5 at 29 through 32. We must obey God rather than men. God raised him up, whom you slew, hanging him on a tree. But God with his right hand exalted him to be a prince and a savior. and thus remission of sins, and repentance is now made available. And we're witnesses of these things, as also is the Holy Spirit, whom God giveth to them that obey Him. The point I'd like to make is, if you look carefully at Acts chapters 3, 4, and 5, you'll come to understand that the Sanhedrin, the council, the Jewish religious leadership had had opportunity to hear the message. And it was not a message. And we need to cause people in our day to see this. It didn't just hang from a skyhook. People do not just believe because they want to believe. God revealed Himself in the blood and bone of human history, and the message was confirmed by signs. And I think in the evidence, in the light of the biblical evidence, Gamaliel had opportunity to examine that. I don't want to do any disservice to any man, living or deceased. But at the same time, I think this attitude which says, well, maybe he's in this category. You see, Paul never presented it that way. He didn't say the gospel is the best of the solutions to come along up to this point dealing with a human problem. He said it's the only solution. Peter said there's salvation in none other. This is the way. And therefore, we make a serious mistake if we say, hey, you saw what happened to Thutis, you saw what happened to Judas, you see what happens to these human movements. Let's test it by that standard. Obviously, that won't work. But I do urge you, I think it's very healthy that somebody say, hey, I want to examine that. That's fine. That's good. The Bereans were more noble than they of Thessalonica, according to Acts 17, because they searched the Scriptures in that historical context, the Old Testament Scriptures and the prophecies, to see if these things were so. Search the Scriptures. But look carefully at those early chapters of Acts. Remember what Paul told Agrippa. These things were not done in a corner. And then take another look at a man who had a great position, a great reputation, and probably was not quite ready to relinquish that. We don't exonerate ordinarily Felix or Agrippa, who heard the message preached. And that perhaps only a time or two in the case of Felix, maybe just once in the case of Agrippa. And I think in the case of this great teaching rabbi, he certainly had had opportunity to know of the Christ. And in 4 and 5 of Acts, those chapters, he'd heard something of the message.